Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he's been a managing editor at Odyssey. Blah, 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 blah. He's Brandon from the internet.
Yeah, we got to hang out.
Yeah, in person. It was amazing. Yeah. Brandon and I live in, like, hundreds of miles apart from one another, and together we went and sort of watched a soccer match. Nothing will say it. Our experience better than when there was like a random person that just became our friend, name unknown.
Yeah.
And we were, then one of our friends that we, Brandon knows from work and me from just being a jackass, goes walking by. We're like, Kelly, what's up? And we're talking to her, and then the whistle blows, and then everyone's kind of leaving. And Brandon looks up and he goes, is the match over? And then the girl that was just kind of talking to us was like, all right, well, bye guys. And we're like, yeah. We go back to talking to Kelly. It was amazing. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, a lot of nerd talk happened in that time there, Brandon.
We did talk so much nerd stuff. Hey, we got,
Yeah.
Tell us.
Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong and maybe what we get right. If you could tell a friend, write a review. Or in a minute you can holler at us with this episode's question of the week. Write a review, though.
Yeah, somebody wrote a review, DJ Slam, which is... I'm hoping it's like a 90s basketball player that is now like a DJ.
What up, Detlef Shrimp?
Yeah, it's Detlef Shrimp. So I like this review a lot for one primary reason, and it's that they put just about as much effort into this review as we do into this show.
So there's misspellings?
Yeah. No, it's they gave us 5 stars. And they are reviewing, they said the title is Florida and ChatGPT. And it says it really isn't answering the question of the day for March 28th, because I haven't gotten to that part yet. But when you ask ChatGPT about the most Florida way to die, it wouldn't give you an answer. I had better luck with GPT-4.
Yes!
So they asked the question, and they said, as an AI language model, I must emphasize that making light or joking about death is inappropriate and disrespectful. Okay, moral high ground robot.
Yeah.
However, I can provide you with information on some unusual incidents that have occurred in Florida, which are often associated with the phrase Florida man in popular culture. Keep in mind, these incidents should not be taken as representative of Florida. Okay. No. Some people in Florida are nice. Okay, robot, don't tell me. If you're interested in learning more about Florida, I'm not. I would be happy to provide information on the state's history, not what I'm interested in. Culture, a little bit what I'm interested in or tourist attractions. It's just the Florida people. Anyway, please give me the unusual incident, says DJ Slam. And ChatGPT-4 says, here are some unusual incidents that have occurred in Florida in the past.
This is the best review ever.
Which have contributed to the Florida man meme or stereotype. Keep in mind that these events are not representative of Florida. I get it, okay? You don't want me to be, like, I don't know, statist toward the people of Florida. A Florida man attempted to rob a store while wearing a drawn-on beard as a disguise. The attempt was unsuccessful, and the man was quickly apprehended by the police. A Florida man tried to pay for his fast food meal with a bag of marijuana. I don't see the problem with that. The cashier refused to accept the unconventional form of payment, narc, and the man was later arrested. A Florida man was arrested for calling 911 multiple times to report that his roommate had stolen his marijuana, which would be a crime. So I get it. Call 911. As marijuana possession is illegal in Florida. Oh, yeah. The man was taken into custody. Not everywhere is as cool. I'm reminded of this a lot living across the border from Idaho. I'm reminded that, like, not everybody's as cool as Washington.
Specifically Idaho.
Yeah, but specifically Idaho. You would think Florida would be cooler. They'd be like, no, you can't have pot. Coke is absolutely fine.
I gotta tell you, if I learned anything from my 10-day trip to Florida last year, it's that you can't have pot if you're not white, is what the rules are. It's just like, are you Cubano? Sorry, to jail. Are you African-American? To jail.
Yeah.
Are you Haitian? Jail. Are you white? Don't you do that again.
Yeah. A Florida man was caught trying to steal a live alligator by putting it in a trash can and attempting to wheel it away. The man was apprehended. The alligator was returned to its natural habitat, which was probably some other Florida man's aquarium.
You can literally just drop it by the side of most roads, and there's just like the...
like, it's natural habitat.
The Everglade Mountains are right there. They just run back into them.
A Florida man threw an alligator... Another alligator-themed crime. A Florida man threw an alligator through a drive-through window at a fast food restaurant. Hey, you wouldn't take my weed. How about this? The man was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon. And the alligator was safely released back into the wild, which was actually just the Arby's.
If you tied, like, the garbage there. Yeah. If you tied two alligators' tails together and then used them as nunchucks, would that be cool? Or
Absolutely.
Oh, I guess you have to probably tie them together at the mouth, so that way when you went to grab one end, it didn't bite you.
No, I think maybe it's like that thing that they use in, like, wushu martial arts, where it's like a feathery tip thing, and you hold on to this thing. It's like a little bit loose, right? And, like, you swing it around by the tail, and then the alligator face is just like, chomp, chomp, chomp. Lastly, these incidents, I guess that was the last one. These incidents reflect the unpredictable and sometimes bizarre nature of the Florida man stereotype, but it's important to remember that they are not indicative of the behavior or character of Florida's entire population, whatever nerd robot.
Wow, DJ Slam. You're a legend. You're all-time great in my book. I would actually recommend for DJ Slam and for everybody listening that they check out the Florida Man Murders podcast featuring our Florida friend Siege, who is a part of that show, and to learn about the even crazier history of people getting offed in Florida. So there you go. It's on all your podcast providers. I wonder if the Odyssey app carries it. We'll have to look.
So just people in Florida don't have money, so they try to pay with weed and alligators.
How'd you get the weed? Or the alligator, I guess.
You paid with alligators, yeah.
I'll trade three gators for four weeds.
How much for one weed, please?
That'll be two gators. Do you know it takes like two or three alligators to make one pair of boots?
Wow.
Cape Ferrari told me that. If you don't know who that is, then welcome to the podcast.
I forgot about Kate Ferrari, dude.
I
want to say one more thing. Not specifically about Florida, but maybe. So I've learned recently that, like, you're not supposed to drink, what is it, almond milk, I think? You could drink, of all the alternative milks, people are trying to get you to be like, don't drink almond milk, because even though you're not, like, harming the cows and stuff, it uses so much water.
Yeah, almond growth is, like, insane for almonds, how much water it
right?
takes.
And so it's, like, counterproductive to, it's, like, maybe healthier, but less.
Unless you're lactose intolerant, and that's why you're doing it, in which case, drink it all up.
Yeah, or just go drink oat milk.
I don't care about the earth. I just don't want to shit myself. Yeah.
I guess it just brings me to, like, I mean, how much water does one gator consume or use in order to grow into what it is versus like the weed. So therefore, which one is more valuable? You know, like per gram, like how much is 1 gram of gator worth?
Well, I learned something about alligators. For instance, I held a 9-year-old alligator that was only about the size of, I don't know, like a house cat, maybe. There's photos of me on my social media at Hey Gregor, but nerdtalkplus.com if you want to participate in any of our stuff. But yeah, I held one and they grow to the size of the tank. They're like, you know, some fish or like Oscars, for instance, that. Yeah. Or like trees, when you put them into a pot, they'll only grow so big because the root supply is only so big. So like it's variable, but I think it's a more so like a time issue. Like if you grow weed, you could grow, you know, 5 weeds in the time it takes you to grow a tenth of a full-size gator. So yeah, I'm guessing that it's probably a push. I'm gonna say it's a push.
Yeah, like how long does an alligator live?
Oh yeah, like a long time.
Because 30 to 50 years.
Yeah. They're like, it takes them like several years to get to full size, and then
But like, and then can you smoke a gator?
Like put it in a bong?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. You can smoke anything. Will a gator get you high?
Nerd Talk Plus does not condone smoking gators.
People are like, oh, yeah.
I can't have weed, but I got this gator dust. He just kept coming. We kept shooting him, but he was on the gator dust.
Man, we moved past bath salts.
Yeah, just straight to the gator dust. Now, a message from our friend Siege from the Florida Man Murders podcast, and just legendary cool dude. I need to take a minute. I don't know if you could pull up your Instagram real quick, Brandon, and go into our chat, because we of course have a chat, the three of us together. But I would just like to say a few things. I want to say, one, hey, that's my friend Siege. And what else did he want? He needed some help sounding awesome on the internet, right? Remember this?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
It's amazing because there's three of us in this conversation, and it's always, when I hop into it, it's always Brandon, scene, no response. Greg responds. Siege responds 7 times. Greg responds. Brandon, scene.
my brother Steven, who listens to this podcast, who apparently hates me because he didn't want to hang out with me this weekend.
Yeah, dude. What's his deal? I heard he was really upset with you for some reason.
Yeah, I suck. I'm awesome. He sucks.
Yeah, like it was your birthday and he was like, no, I've got a bike or whatever, right? Yeah. He must like, what does that tell you? That he likes a bike more than you.
Yeah, he's like a lot of people. He would relate to you a lot about me reading things and not responding to them. He said he wants us to say, hey, that's my friend Siege.
Hey, that's my friend Siege.
That's my friend Siege.
So if you guys could do us a favor and you could record it into your phone saying, hey, that's my friend Siege. I'm not just joking around. We would be really appreciative. You can just send it right to me and I'll pull it and send it to Siege myself or whatever. But it would really help him out for a project he's working on if you would say, hey, that's my friend Siege. Or without the hey, I guess, because he didn't actually specifically said that. I just added it because I thought it sounded awesome.
Yeah, if you're having trouble, because maybe you don't know Siege personally, maybe you're like a normal person, and you don't know him personally, to kind of get the vibe of what he wants you to do, just pretend, like in Siege's word, pretend like you're yelling at a Gyllenhaal or some shit.
Got it. That really cleared it up for me. Before, so like, I was like unsure.
Jake or Maggie, I think it sounds like it's either way.
Yeah, so if you could do us a huge solid on that. Again, you can find all our socials and everything, nerdtalkplus.com. I think it's there. I might actually be lying, but I thought I linked to all our socials and stuff. But do that, and if you could send those clips to me. He's using it for an audio project, and he just needs people saying that to make hilarious stuff. So if you could cut that into your phone, just into the app or whatever, listen to it so it doesn't, you don't sound like an idiot screaming into your thing and it over clips or whatever. Just like send it over and we'll send it to him and he'll be so, so grateful. If there's anyone who's grateful for anyone's help, it is always our friend Siege. He's the type of guy where you could be like on one, that 7 too many hits of acid and you could be literally fist fighting an alligator and he pulls up in some broke ass car and is like, no, gets in and throws you in and then drives off with the wheels peeling out like Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
Only Florida.
Yeah, he's Florida Uncle Buck.
Yeah, there. Okay, if you don't know Uncle Buck, then you're missing out on a classic.
Yeah. I just want to know, like, if he's kept in touch with Cade Ferrari.
Yeah, I don't think either of us has. Cade Ferrari, what a guy. He was our fan boat driver when we were out seeing alligators, and boy, was he cool. You think that, like, fan boat driver, just, like, some crazy hick. He was, like, a conservationist, which was pretty cool. He was still a crazy hick, don't get me wrong, but, like, yeah.
That brings us to our question of the week, actually.
Perfect, yeah, question of the week.
Question of the week is, if you gave it all up for a simpler life, what would your profession be?
Good God, fan boat driver sounds amazing.
That sounds like, that's like one of those ones where people are going to think like, oh, I would be a farmer, like the dude in Star Wars that created the Death Star, or it was Matt Mikkelsen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not him specifically, it was the character that he played. I want to be clear that Mads Mikkelsen did not blow up Alderaan, and he had no part in that. Okay. He would.
Did you know that he's Danish? I didn't know that. He's Galen Erso in the film, by the way.
Yeah. His brother's an actor, too, and he's in some crazy stuff. Anyway, Mads Mikkelsen is crazy. It's just an aside. Read about Mads Mikkelsen, because the dude is, like, so interesting. But fanboat driver is not something that would ever, like, people think, like, oh, I go, you know, work in a brewery because I like beer, or I go make coffee, which is like probably the thing I would do, is like go make coffee somewhere. But like fanboat driver is such a good, like, bespoke job. Fanboat driving Florida conservationist.
Yeah, right? He like gives a crap about the Everglades. He knew all about all the stuff too, and he was like, that's not gonna exist much longer the way that we're going. And I'm like, oh, look at you giving a crap. And then like I remember that he fanboat sprayed a gator that was hissing at us. It was like, I mean, no wonder it hisses at us. So but yeah, he like straight up handed me a tiny gator and was like, here you go. And I was like, hi kitty. And I was like, I was like, it is like a kitty. This is cool.
My kid calls every animal a kitty as well. So it's really...
I remember my kid calling dogs woofs, because he would say the sound that they made. And I was like, man, I wanted to call our dog Woof so bad. But then people would be like, yeah, wolf. And we're like, no.
Yeah.
He's saying woof. Yeah. Get it straight. Anyway. All right. Well, I guess we should talk about the stuff that I planned, sort of, right? Now that we talked for 15 minutes about nothing, I am...
Florida.
We got to get our AI fix in for the week. The old people and Michael Scotts of your life will soon no longer have to just worry about being tricked by Nigerian princes. How quaint, right? Spammers will soon begin, if it hasn't already started, to use artificial intelligence to fill your inbox with personalized to like a creepy level spam. You could read about it at Gizmodo.com. I mean, like, if they put enough black holes, kung fu, and Rubik's cubes, or like music into emails, I might not even care that they're spamming me and just start being friends with a robot. And like, sure, it'll take all my money, but you've already gotten my soul through the screen partially. And I don't know, you got my email, so let's go.
Can I just talk about how accurate, let's put it this way. I think you know yourself just about as well as AI might know you. Because the things that you just said, that if the AI like put into an email, black holes, kung fu, Rubik's cubes, music. When I hung out with you over the weekend, we were at a bar. The first thing that happens is like, okay, yeah, he's into music. We talked about kung fu, and you're talking to me about black holes recently, and you were jamming on the playlist at the bar that we were at. Then we go to the soccer game, and you get stuck at a metal detector because there's a Rubik's cube in your pocket.
It's got magnets. What can I say? Legal. It's legal.
Do you think that, like, of all of the people that have had to, like, walk through this metal detector, and all of the, like, the half-paid security guards that are standing there, and they have to be like, all right, what's in your pocket? Oh, it's your AirPods. Or like, oh, what's in your pocket? Oh, it's a knife that you forgot about or that you remembered and wanted to stab someone. Of all of those things, like, how many times... Not even just that one individual security guard. Like, how many times do you think any security guard at that stadium has had to pull somebody aside because of a Rubik's cube in their pocket?
Once I got stopped at the border coming across, and they were like, what were you guys doing in Canada? And we were like, we were at a Rubik's cube competition. And the the Border Patrol person was like,
you're
okay.
Going to need to make your excuses sound more believable.
And then, like, we had Rubik's Cubes, and we're like, well, we could show you, and we, like, solved them right there, and the guy was like, whoa, this is crazy. All right. Cool, have fun. So, wow. Yeah, it's what it actually stuck out to me what happened. I said to you, I said, I've been thinking a lot about Kung Fu recently, and you yep. said, Greg, I think that that's the phrase that you say the most to me in our lives.
And I was like, if you had a catchphrase,
I've been thinking
a lot about Kung Fu recently.
It's true.
Yeah.
So the guy that I have a tree guy. I never imagined that would be a thing. Yeah. But I wanted to buy a tree for this house that I had just bought that had no trees, and it's like they like wiped out like a forest area to build these houses, and I was like, I got to put in a tree, like at least give something back. And so we're at the tree place, and homie comes over and he helps us pick the right tree, and he was so cool, and he was like, hey, here's my number if you ever need maintenance on it or whatever, you know, a little wink on the side, I'll come by and trim it for you or whatever, a few bucks. Okay, great. And so, like, he's the weirdest, and he's been over a handful of times randomly. Well, yesterday, I'm just, like, hanging out at my house, and I get a phone call, and it's like, hey, this is Alex. I'm on my way over. I was like, all right, cool. He's like, cool. Yeah, I drove by and saw that your tree, like, definitely needed trimming, and I couldn't, like, just drive by.
I saw that your tree needed trimming, and I needed 20 bucks, well, so...
To be fair, he wouldn't take my money. He was just like, I just wanted to do it because I love that tree. And I was like, well, let me give you money because yeah. it's still a skill that I like really appreciate. And I said something, I asked him, like, this is weird. Usually with workers like this, probably this doesn't happen. But I was like, will you take a look at my inside tree? And he was like, I love inside trees. And so he came in and he was like, oh, clip. And he just like fixed it right on the spot.
Yeah.
And then he turned and he was like, what are all those trophies? Do you do martial arts? And I was like, yeah, I'm an award-winning martial artist, man.
Yeah, I hope that's on your resume.
Should be. It will be now.
Yeah.
And so we got talking about it, and then I was just laughing, and he's like, what are you laughing about? Like, what's so funny? And I was like, oh, just my friend literally yesterday was like, you all the time say, I was recently thinking about Kung Fu, and then you found somebody who would like totally. So we talked for an hour about Kung Fu.
Like, it was amazing.
At the end, I was like, okay, let me give you some money now. And he was like, I just like coming over here, man. This is rad. I was like, okay, cool. Come on back.
Will you at least take half a gator?
One? Can you take one boot worth of gator? Would that be okay?
That's three gators.
Oh my god,
man.
My dog has been eating her own. I just picked her up and her butt is wet. Ugh,
oh,
gross. I better beep that. But it's like.
Speaking of that, tell me about Sniff Spot.
You hear that, ladybug? My dog came into the studio and hopped up into my lap, so cool. It's like we talked about it before the pandemic. This is before this show, but like on Nerd Talk. 4 years in, and Sniff Spot, the Airbnb to link up open yards and dogs, has grown. You can read a bit more about it at geekwire.com. Sniff Spot now has a presence in all 50 states. You can... rent out people's yards for a few bucks to let your doodle free. And when we say doodle, we don't mean wiener, okay? And
I do, but okay.
Can I rent out your yard to just whip out my wiener?
It brings me great comfort to know that there's at least one place in all 50 states that I can whip my doodle out.
Hear that, dog? Anyway, we got so many pets during the pandemic, and lots of people worry about like the insane fights that break out between dogs at the dog park because that's a totally real thing. So having a little bit of space to run around in I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it's not just Seattle. Like here in Snohomish, we have the most worthless yard with one badass tree in it. So finding some like pasture down in the valley, it sounds pretty awesome. I think I would do this. I'm curious to see if Sniff Spot is in Spokane where you live.
Oh, yeah, I'll look because I have a dog that loves to run. Yeah. I feel like this is like one of those things where you'd pay your, you know, pick dog walker app of choice, right? Mm-hmm. And they come grab your dog and then take them to this place, and then you also end up paying for that as well. I'm assuming you pay for the ability to have the dogs run. I feel like what I've heard is that all of these pandemic dogs, right, all of these people that bought animals during the pandemic never really were able to socialize them with other dogs, right? And so now they go to these...
Maybe
these,
in Seattle they weren't, but in places where it didn't happen, like Spokane or
like
Florida.
Where I live. Yeah. To be fair, I got both my dogs before the pandemic, and they still are. They still suck at socializing with other dogs. One of them was a street dog from India, so she just like came to us with three legs and probably lost one of those other legs in a dog fight. So I get why she doesn't like other dogs. She does like our other dog, our greyhound, who could give no care in the world to any other dog in the world. So anyway, that let's see. I'm going to look up Sniff, Spot, Spokane. I think that's a great name.
Yeah, absolutely. Our mutual friend Alyssa used it, and she came all the way up here, and she was like, "I'm going to be up there and bring our dogs out there to run around and check it out." And I was like, great, let me know. And then she didn't let me know, and she did it anyway. And I was like, you were like 5 seconds from my house, you dumb jerk.
Can I tell you one thing? Is that so my neighbor, I live in like a residential neighborhood. And there's my neighbor next door runs basically what I think is like a dog. I think she does like one of the dog app. Babysitting apps, right? And she runs it out of her
like Rover.
House. Yeah. And she runs it out of her house, which I'm like, cool, like love that for you to have, you know,
a income.
Source of income, right? So like conceptually, I'm like, I love it. Realistically, I hate it so
Like the
much.
Beagle that comes over every day and goes, hur,
hur. Yeah. It's just like she has a lot of like consistent clients that like always bring their dogs over every single day because they go to work and they need like their dogs to go somewhere. And I hope she doesn't listen to this. I guarantee she doesn't listen to this.
DJ Slam is the only one listening this week.
Yeah. So, Jamie, if you're listening, this is my official notice that good for you, but it's a little bit annoying.
Okay, good. So you should see if she does it, and then you should like rent it out and take your dogs over.
I should just rent the whole place out and then not let anybody go over. I should just buy her house. I'm going to gentrify her house.
Let your dogs live there.
There's like all sorts of these places here in Spokane. There's like 12 spots to sniff in the Spokane area. It's like what's that thing that everybody does? Geocaching.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah,
let's just change it into geosniffing.
Yeah.
You find the GPS coordinates. It's like a thing to smell.
Yeah, for dogs.
You ever think about you ever think about something that will happen once?
Kung Fu.
And you you ever think about Kung Fu? I know you do.
Recently,
things that'll happen once and then like you'll never like think like this way. A smell that you'll smell once and you're like, that was a really good or perhaps really bad smell. And you're like, I don't know if this specific combination of smells that I'm smelling right now will ever exist again.
Yeah.
Right. And so maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it smells terrible. But the fact that like life is incredibly random and who knows if like that specific, you know, like a sound that you like. I remember there's a story I heard about a guy who was at a cafe and like. Somewhere, I think Uganda, and like straight up like an elephant just like bowled through like something happened where like came into the restaurant and then a lady like it hit something and it made this like very distinct like gong sound and he was like, I will never hear that again. I will never hear an elephant run into a pan or like whatever it was and make that sound again.
I can only imagine like a cartoon that does that and then here it is in real life.
Yeah. And so maybe that I wonder if we should have like a geocache for like unique smells.
Well, I don't know. Some smells are so temporary, right? And then others are like the jizz trees where it's like that time of year where you're like,
oh,
cool.
Yeah.
You're like, so maybe there's, I'm not saying no, that's for sure. But like some sort of olfactory app would be, I feel like there's like a market there.
Yeah.
I haven't searched to see if there's anything related or whatever, but It's not a bad idea, that's for sure.
Smell is so interesting because we've talked about we've talked about that sense on this show quite a bit. Like, it's so interesting because it's so tied to memory. It's like one of the strongest senses tied to memory. Like, you smell something, it brings you back to a certain place. And
like my grandma, when I was a kid, she had a fake flower in her guest bathroom.
Yeah.
And I would smell it and I would be like, it doesn't smell like anything. So she would go get her perfume and she would spray a spray onto it. And then I would smell it and be like, that's better.
Yeah.
And then it was 20 years ago. I was like walking through, you know, some like Bed Bath and Beyond or whatever.
Yeah.
And like an old lady went walking by me and I was like, Grandma?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like that strong. And like I remember that, the details to the story so vividly in my mind that it, because of the fragrance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the, I'm curious why that has such a stronger tie to memory. Than,
no, we should look that up. That's good.
Maybe, vision, maybe we'll, taste, anything like that.
We'll definitely forget. But next week, let's look into why that works.
I also am always curious about, like, and we've talked about this before, so I won't spend too much time on it. But like, can an anti-smell exist? Like the opposite. Like if I,
like what's smelling, the opposite of pancakes?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's like if I'm smelling dog crap.
Yeah,
and. Like, how do I stop smelling dog crap? And you could say, like, oh, it's like, well, just start smelling pancakes. It's like, no, I don't want to smell pancakes either. I want to smell nothing. I want neutral smell.
It's coffee.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah, that's like the palate cleanser, right?
Yeah, because if you're like, we did a home whiskey testing the other day, because I have all these, I'm not like really a bourbon drinker, but we have like all these whiskeys in my house. And so I was like, we're bored. I was like, let's do a taste test and see which one's the best. And so, yeah, one of the things was we had a, we kept a small cup of coffee beans there so you could like clear out your palate.
I don't want to smell coffee. I just want to smell nothing.
But I think that like, I think that in order to get to the middle, you have to go from one side of the spectrum to the other so that way you come back. Yeah. So like if let's say your wife walked in and ripped major ass right now, right?
Dude, she's pregnant. It happens all the time. And she's going to hate that.
And so... All right, moving on.
Dude, pregnancy is weird.
Dude, babies coming out of stuff is the weirdest. Like, I'm so grateful that I know that I've seen that because my insecurities about anything are like, nope, a baby didn't just come flopping out of my butt, you know? Like, it's okay.
I was at a house and there was a candle at this house that said, of all of the vaginas in the world, I'm glad I fell out of yours or tumbled out of yours. And I was like, that candle was written by somebody who's never seen childbirth.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Like, more like squeezed like an apple. Never mind. We'll just stop there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is big. Are you ready? We haven't done this in forever. In Bad Guys and Billionaires. R.I.P. our blue check marks, Brandon. Elon finally did it. Twitter is now just a bubbling mess of dog vomit. The social media site... my dog would eat that. Wait, where'd you go? The social media site took away all verified check marks, unless, of course, you pay a monthly fee. From radio host, hi there, to former radio employee, you, to tsunami monitoring station or the NWS or whatever, people in positions of credibility are now replaced by anyone who will pay a small fee for the attention. Like, there's nothing that says dying days of capitalism more than that, right? Like, that there might not be any hope. Now, for a while there, it was you could pay for it alongside, like the people that had the, you know, proven notoriety or whatever. But in Elon's world, money equals authority, so and that shouldn't be surprising.
That's not my take. My take is and this is wild, maybe to think, and this is maybe so off base, but it just seems like everything that he's doing is so intentionally bad. That he's intentionally trying to sink this app that he was so personally offended by when he before he bought it. Like, the reason he bought it is because he was like, this thing makes me mad, and so I'm going to buy it and make it better. But in reality, he's made it so much worse that it's like, you have to be doing this on purpose. But all of that to say, I think the dude is an absolute like, he sucks. So, just to make that very clear, that is the stance that I have on this.
Okay, great.
However, I think the funniest thing that he's ever done, and I don't know if it was him or whoever, but when they removed all of the verification badges from all of the people who had them and who weren't paying for it, he kept them on some of the people who have been the most critical about the paying for verification thing. And the way that the wording on the verification says is, this person has this because they're notorious, or they're paying $8 a month for like Twitter Blue or whatever it is. And it's like, it's hilarious because all of these people with verification are like, I want to make it very clear that I am not doing this. But it just like it does kind of pick at the whole idea that the idea of verification as a status symbol rather than like a point of verifying somebody's, you know, because now it's like these people who don't have verification are like, I'm glad because I would hate to be seen as the person paying for it. And if you do pay for it, whatever, like it comes with, if it's something that you value, great, fine, whatever. Like if anybody listening is listening to this, I'm not going to like say don't pay for it. It's $8. Like, we pay more for stupid all the time. That said, it's hilarious because for a while I still had my verification while they had that thing, and I was like, I'm not gonna say anything because whatever, but it's hilarious that he said they have this because they paid for it, or maybe not,
or maybe we don't know.
And he only kept it on people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
So today Tucker Carlson was let go from Fox or whatever the wording is for that, and people were like, gee, I wish I knew if this was trustworthy information or not, but there's just no way of knowing because anyone can pay to say that they're credible.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get that you can have your criticisms about the media, and that's fine, as we should. It's kind of our responsibility to be critical of everything. But also, there's a certain gateway that you have to get through in order to get that. And so, like, I don't need to be verified, but if I tweet at an artist and I'm verified, that might take an extra beat to be like, who's this dude? He's verified. He's a radio employee. Okay, he's legitimately trying to talk to me about music, not just trying to send me a weird body doll of himself.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that too, of
course.
That
is also what you're doing, but yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, I just work up to it, so.
I can't wait till you start franchising Build-A-Greg workshops.
Gee, there's only one size of wiener, and it's really big. That's weird. It's almost like he's compensating. No. No check mark for you. Yeah, and it's, like, there's no doubt that Elon Musk, though a according to Brandon, there's no doubt that he hasn't prolifically changed the world. The problem is that is it advancing our culture or is it detracting from our culture? And then further yet, is it deteriorating what we need in order to keep us from re-entering fascism? You know, like,
right.
is he setting the stage to hyper-radicalize people without the, you know, with this, like, nonsense mindset of, like, well, free speech. Free yeah. speech is amazing. I'm a person who benefits from it a lot, but it's also the fire in a movie theater argument. I'm right. not going to get into this because I will lose against anyone who wants to argue about it, the Jason Rances of the world, but, like,
yeah.
I just, there's a certain amount of credibility that you lend to your product by getting people who have proven themselves to be consistently part of something to continue to be that, and then not just allowing people like Siege to be able to 8-bucks themselves and having the same level of credibility as me, you know? It's which I, you know, I love him and everything as we've established, but yeah. So anyway, I don't agree with you that he's sabotaging it on purpose, but if I find out that you're right, I will also be like, yeah, okay.
I don't know if I actually believe that, but the way I think about it is, if I were intentionally trying to lose all of the credibility and favor that the super users of this app had for it, what would I do? And he's done every single thing.
Yeah, like if you were a PR person, you would be like, and they don't have a PR department anymore.
Yeah.
They've like totally dissolved it. And so like if you were like a PR person, you'd be like, what would you do? What are some classic examples of what not to do? You would like show Elon being Elon to make that
be
case.
Like, hey, you shouldn't do that. He's like, you're going on the next Starship.
I saw a lot of people that were like comparing like the Starship thing, and like I'll defend him on Starship. That's the weird thing, is there like I made one comment and then I got like 9,000 replies to it about what
I read it. It was hilarious. They're like, oh, okay, Elon fanboy, and I'm like, you guys.
Yeah, like I could give you all sorts of examples of where that's not the case.
Yeah,
but the idea that their whole goal was to make this thing take off and see what happens. And yeah, they want to make it to space on the first try so they don't have to spend money doing more. But none of those fools were upset once it got into the air that it didn't succeed. They were all like, cool, next steps, let's go. And if you had watched all of the Starship, the top part of it, not the super booster, but if you watched all the top part, it took like 11 flights or 11 series of this thing. It was like Starship 10 or 11 before it actually took off and landed again without exploding. And then by 15, they could do it again. And they were like, okay, let's go. We've got the top part sort of figured out now. And we'll just keep developing as we go. Whereas someone like NASA, if they have problems, they have to go through committee. And SpaceX has made itself a lot more agile to be able to fix these things, and by finding out by exploding stuff. And until it's like the Chinese government just sending stuff up and being like, oh, well, it might hit the Earth, whatever. Like, that might fall on an entire 3 million person population, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he's not at that level yet. And so it is a success, and it is rad to watch rockets take off. Unapologetically, I think that's
sure.
cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And
still, Elon sucks.
Yeah, it's just It's just it's like sports washing, but he's space washing. Speaking of, he might actually have to be washing space sometime soon.
Yeah, he's put up enough freaking satellites up there to create Starlink.
The crap up there is gonna have to get cleaned up as a void.
My kid didn't understand. He was like, "How many things are around Mars?" And I was like, "Oh, probably like 10 or 12 different satellites are probably up there flying around. Some of them may be dead or whatever." And he was like, "Wow, it's a lot. Is that more than Earth?" And I was like,
"You go outside and look up and just like try to count the satellites for 5 minutes and you'll get more than 12.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Elon sent up one batch of Starlink 3 days ago that was more than what is circling Mars, you know? It's like, yeah. All right. Well, I guess for time's sake, I wanted to do one more, but I guess for time's sake, let's head back to the question of the week.
Question of the week is that if you gave it all up for a simpler life, what would your profession be? If money wasn't an object, you could just do whatever you wanted.
If you were just going to dial it back, and like, sure, there's going to be some sacrifices, you know, like if you go from tech CEO to Forrest Gump mowing lawns or whatever, there's going to be a price. But like, he's like the perfect example of that, where he made his millions and then fictional character then mowed lawns for a living or whatever. Like, that's pretty cool. What's the thing that, like, you already said that you think it's coffee or something. Like, what's the thing that pulls you towards that simpler life?
I always think it'd be like working in a bike shop, like fixing bikes, repair, or like learn. I mean, I'm not great. I do a lot of my own bike maintenance, but I couldn't build a bike right now from scratch. Mm-hmm. From scratch, like
he goes out to mine the ore,
drill the metal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do think like something working with my hands, but also like getting to talk to people, be social. You know, my dream has always been like a bike. There's some cool places in Seattle. There's a place in Coeur d'Alene. They're like bike coffee shops. There should be a really cool one in Portland where it's like, it's just a cafe and they also sell bike stuff and you go drink coffee and, look at bikes at the same time. Cause I'm a nerd. Probably be something like that. I always think that it'd be like, oh, I'd go like just make coffee or like go be a server. Cause I love, that kind of stuff, right? But then it's also like, I'm gonna go be a server, but you also have to work on Friday nights every once in a while, and you have to like deal with your crappy boss and like Dave, your coworker who you hate. Yeah. Like all these things, you know, where you just like don't have the flexibility of your schedule. Like, I want to open a donut shop, but instead of waking up at like 2 a.m. to make all the donuts so everybody can have them fresh, it's like, no, I'm still waking up at 8. Y'all can just have your donuts later.
I'll make some savory ones to make it better. Yeah, yeah. I saw you guys ate Dojoy when you were here the other day. It's a place, there's a few different places around Seattle that are awesome.
Oh, a dojo. Yeah, I could open up a donut
dojo.
Oh, Dojoy. Okay. Yeah,
not a dojo. Go eat some sweaty feet. Is that what you're
doing?
But
a donut dojo.
Yeah.
Sounds very cool though.
Oh my God, I'm in. You go burn off some calories and then fill them back up with the sugar. It's like the Einstein bagels that's next to my dojo where I'm like, I could really go for some cream cheese on some bread right now. That sounds real good.
What's your farming for a man of your talents?
Yeah, it's I feel like things in my world have not been awesome these last couple of years, and so I am really starting to concentrate on like what the essence of human life is, right? And I'm not dying or anything, like that's not what I'm trying to say. But since I was 20 nothing years old, I read this book by Alan Watts called The Book on the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. I recommend it to literally everybody because I've bought it for so many people that have never read it and stuff. And it's just about how no one wants you to understand. I won't paraphrase it right, but it's effectively like culture doesn't want you to be who you are. It wants you to fit into a system, right? And if you're like a 20 nothing year old and you have an impressionable mind, it's like perfect for understanding that none of this matters or means anything and that it's all just relational and it doesn't. So like you can conduct your life in a way that is satisfying to you as long as you're not hurting others. But even if you are, like, none of our legacy is going to mean anything. We're already repeating the genocide type stuff. Yeah, stuff like that. We're already doing that unapologetically because we've forgotten already. And so even the worst of the worst don't really have a legacy once you get a certain distance from it. So, so I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And my whole life, I've always considered Like, should I just pack up and move to China and spend a few years as a monk? Just, like, give up everything and see how Spartan you can be. And I guess if I was gonna, like, I have the best job in the world. I, like, really legitimately love what I do. And I, like, I really enjoy the opportunities that I've been given in life. And sometimes I just feel like I'm still too weighed down by things that aren't important. So is there a life to be led for, even if it's just for a couple of years, where you just put everything away and just go sleep on the floor, you know, and go and spend time thinking about, not about negativity and not just about how you can lend oneself to bettering everybody. And so there's, like, my whole, like, adult life has been led with this kind of, like, nagging at the back of my mind. And I don't really ever foresee it happening or whatever, but, like, in challenging times, it does feel good to be like, how much of what I'm hurting about is real versus how much am I letting it affect me unnecessarily?
Like, your own perception of things being worse than the actual things.
Yeah, and, like, we jump from, like, are you a shower arguer?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where you're going to win all your fights that you've ever had or you're going to have in your life in the shower?
Yep.
Yeah, that's, like, a gigantic waste of time.
Yeah.
Because you might work some stuff out or whatever, but it's just, like, your dumb brain scrambling to make sense of your misery instead of just being, like, misery is a state and you move through it. And so I think that there's a fair amount of understanding how little any of this is actually important and just trying to, like, help people not suffer. That is, like, pretty cool. So, and then there's, like, a bunch of science that goes behind it too, that if I'm gonna ruin it for Nerd Talk, there's a bunch of science that goes along with it too that just suggests that the people that lead these lives, their brains are generating whatever gamma, whatever it is, that suggests happiness and like higher quality of life.
So, you know what Funkos are?
You mean the little figures?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know you know what they are because I know you have them. But I don't. I'm not a person that collects them or has any of them. However, oh yeah, Mega Man, perfect.
How dope, right?
Yeah. That said, I feel like you would be prime material for a Funko character. And this is why.
Okay.
So you have DJ Gregor.
Yeah.
So Lil Funko with you and your headphones.
Wiki wiki.
You have, I think about Kung Fu a lot, Gregor, who is wearing his gi.
Yeah.
Is that what it is, right?
Yeah.
Wearing your gi, striking a pose. Yeah. And then I'm really excited for the next release from Funko is Shaolin Gregor.
Oh, okay.
Which is just an offshoot of I think about Kung Fu a lot, Gregor, but it's just bald
and no shirt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, it's basically like the AI that your buddy typed in to the whatever the Facetune or whatever that AI was. We got all those. There's Space Gregor.
Oh man.
Yeah. So anyway, not to belittle your entire idea about what you would do.
It's fun. Yeah. I'm not offended at all.
but I like the idea of Shaolin Gregor. I'm gonna pitch that at my next Build a Gregor workshop.
I'm a pillow in the shape of Shaolin.
Yeah.
Boy, the sales are terrible.
Yeah.
Can you pull up ChatGPT real quick, Brandon?
Yeah.
Let's ask, what does ChatGPT think about what would be a good simple life?
Oh yeah. Let's see. Got to log in. I really should. They should make like a built-in app into your operating system, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know how like Windows has.
I think it's called Bing.
Oracle. Windows has like whatever. I think it used to be called Oracle. Maybe it's not. Google has the Google Assistant. Apple has Siri. Like,
yeah.
It really should just be built in as an assistant. Let's see. What's the question?
Well, what's the question of the week?
If
you gave it all up for a simpler life, what would your profession be?
Let's see. I'm just going to put it in verbatim. If you gave it all up for a simple life, what would your profession be? OpenAI says, I don't have personal desires or ambitions. Your desire ambition is for me to not judge Floridians as harshly as I want to. You made it very clear when DJ Slam asked, what's a Florida way to die? Now, it did say, if I were a human and wanted a simpler life, how would you know what that would be like if you were a human? I might choose to become a farmer, like Galen Erso. It didn't say the Galen Erso part. A carpenter, a baker, or a homesteader. That doesn't, like, I feel like all of those things seem like they'd be simpler, but like all of those things are very complicated.
Yeah, they're like really grueling and difficult work.
Like your thing is actually like, and not in a belittling way, like the thing that you said is actually simpler because it's like getting rid of all of the things that you have to do and spending it like thinking and like you require nothing but yourself, right? Like I love to bake, don't get me wrong, but like becoming a baker would actually be way more complicated than what I currently do.
Absolutely.
These professions often involve working with one hand, being close to nature, having a sense of self-sufficiency. They can provide a slower pace of life, more direct connection to the products of one's labor. I do think about that a lot, like in we're so disconnected now from as a society, as a culture, perhaps maybe not as a species, we're so disconnected from like the fruits of our labor because so much is entertainment focused, which entertainment is
here we are.
No offense to either of us. Entertainment is not a physical product, right? Most of us don't know where our food comes from. We don't farm it, we don't go get it, you know, things like that. And even the things like, I mean, I love IKEA, don't get me wrong, but I like walked through a shop at the mall the other day and I was like, man, all of these clothes in here, every single item of the clothes in here are not going to get bought, right? A lot of them will, they'll get purchased, but a lot of them won't. Yeah. What happens to those, right? And they, like, I've looked at it before, and like the fast fashion industry, like it just ends up in like this random place in South America where there's heaps and heaps and heaps of unpurchased clothes from these, you know, massive global retailers. And you just have a lot of like very, you know, people without very much wealth at all, just like climbing these mountains of like clothes, trying to find things that would be good or that they could go resell in their village and stuff like that. It's crazy. So I think that like the direct connection to the products of one labor is something that,
yeah,
that's like the core of the thing that I seek out, right? Working on bikes, baking donuts.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I started thinking about homesteading there and fashion. Like, it used to be that you bought the material and then, like, sorry, this, I'm not trying to be whatever, but, like, while you were out working the land, wife would be home with your 700 kids making the clothing.
Yeah.
And then think about, like, Brandon, you're a fashionable guy. You're always dressed pretty nice. Like, and your wife is part of that for sure. Imagine if, like, you married somebody who had just a good design sense that made cool clothes back then versus now just being able to choose cool clothes that you buy. Maybe there's something to it, to make, being able to make your own clothing as well. Or to, you know, I've always wanted to be able to like bring in my own shirts and stuff like that because I'm a tall guy. So if I could buy an XL but then bring it in on the sides, that would be on my own with a sewing machine and everything. It would probably be pretty satisfying. Yeah. What I'm finding is that we spend so much time running around trying to do things, trying to go to shows and be part of experiences and show everybody all the time on the internet, that like there's something really satisfying to cleaning the kitchen and having like your house be tidy and that being the priority, with like just the bonuses of doing something cool once in a while. Because I like judge people now when I watch their, because of how bad I am at it, I watch their stuff and see that they like are constantly in a clean room where things are tidy or straight and they have two kids or whatever. I'm like, how do you, I'm sure your house is like that where it's like perfect all the time.
No.
I mean,
no, but I will say like, there's something that you said, I know we're,
I don't care.
Yeah. There's something you said about, doing things for the sake of doing them, and not for the sake of, posting them or sharing them or like self-worth from other people, like finding joy in the thing that, like, for instance, I got into leather work for a while.
Yeah, I still have the thing.
I really enjoyed it. And I was not very good at it. Why? Because I didn't spend very much time doing it, because I would watch these videos of people doing it on Instagram, YouTube, whatever, where they were doing incredible jobs and I just could not replicate it. And like, these people obviously have years of experience doing it and have made hundreds of wallets and hundreds, you know, of all of the things that they're making. And I'm just like sitting here trying to figure out how to sew better, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just kind of give it up because you're like, oh, I'll never be as good as those things. So why do it at all? You know?
It's hard.
And it's like, it doesn't matter how proficient at it I am at it in the world. It just matters that I enjoy doing it, right?
Well, and we have such an advantage there. There was once upon a time, people didn't have the luxury of being skilled at things because you would die.
Yeah.
The only things you could do were reproduce, gather food, and find shelter. Those were the things that you spent all of your time doing. And so you didn't have time to learn how to make an axe. And then if you did, you had one axe maker for the village. And that axe maker, when they died, you wouldn't have an axe maker anymore. And so because it would take everyone else in the small village to keep everyone alive. And so then someone would have to relearn it kind of from scratch again. And maybe you're lucky enough that your village is doing well enough that you can teach a young one how to like take over. But for the most part, artisan things were not easily acquired because we needed all of our efforts to keep humans alive. And now we live at a time where I have 71 different interests that I'm into, and I just bounce around between them, you know, from Rubik's Cube to photography to Kung Fu or whatever. I just move around between them because I just have that luxury of time because of that giant pile of clothing that exists in South America. It's really, it really calls on what is actually important, and like, how do you make the mindset correct that, like, how do you teach a child to be like, don't worry what other people think? I heard that a million times when I was a kid, but no one could actually explain that.
Yeah.
To be like, do what you do and do it awesomely.
Because, well, then you have the advent of social media, which is all about what do other people think.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't need to know.
It's actually kind of a great thing that it's becoming like, what's the word for it? Suggestive media.
Sure.
Where now people are like showing you how to do something and you're trying to influence people. It's no longer about direct one-to-one friend stuff as much anymore. They're getting away from that to be like, look at this video I created. It has this many views. And that's where we're competitive now, is who could make the thing with the most stuff. And so maybe that's a benefit to it. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I think the comparison culture that comes from it is the comparison culture sounds like I'm like trying to create the opposite of cancel culture or like trying to like, comparison culture, the future the libs want. The idea of homestead, stop putting Mega Man in my face. Actually, don't stop.
Never stop.
I like the Gregor body with Mega Man head.
I just want that helmet.
Tune in next week for next week's question of the week, is what part of Mega Man's body do you wish was your body?
Hold on, I'm checking out these sensitive areas.
Because you, how big is Mega Man's penis, first of all?
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's bring this all together. Thank you, ChatGPT, for your help. Now we ask a question, what do we learn this week? After all, it's a very heady show. We actually got kind of there today.
Kind of was a heady show. I learned that the a Nigerian chatbot is going to take advantage of Greg through his interest in Rubik's Cubes.
I can't wait. I feel I need intimacy in my life so much that if the chatbot can make that happen, then that's great.
Also, is it a scam if you're getting something out of it?
I think if they take all your money, it probably is.
I mean, I bought groceries this week.
But they sustain you, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're getting something out of it, if you're getting entertainment or something out of it, are you being scammed?
I think it depends on the level of the scam, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. But
like,
I mean,
impersonating your identity and then opening up the credit cards or something like that.
Yeah.
What did you learn this week, Greg?
That farming is obviously simple. Even ChatGPT said so.
So easy. Galen Erso was just a rocket scientist, and then he became a freaking farmer.
What an idiot.
Basically an idiot, and he was able to farm.
Basically an idiot. Anything else, Brandon? Did you learn anything else?
No.
Okay, well, On that note, let's all go get high on alligator dust.
Oh, no. Actually, I learned that I want to learn what alligator dust smells like, and then I want to put it in a place where you can go find it using GPS, and then you can go find it so we can have geosniffing.
I think when you find out what alligator dust smells like, it's when you're doing alligator dust. What does this line of alligator dust sound
alligator
like?
Dust.
Hey, thanks for hanging out and listening today. A long episode. What do you know?
Geosniffing is just putting caches of cocaine around the city and then letting people go find them. It's Pokemon Go. It's Cocaine Go. It's Pokemon Go.
How is Siege always the top ranked person at this? This is weird. He's got a real nose for it. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Sorry, Siege, it's not nice. I'm sorry. Thanks for listening, thanks for streaming. Apologies, I made a mistake on last week's, I just found it out minutes ago, made a mistake on last week's episode going up as a podcast, so you will have two episodes to download this week. So if you hear this one and you didn't get last week's because this is the most recent one in your player, please go snag the other one and listen to both. We appreciate you. Every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app or via podcast, via Odyssey, or however you get your podcasts. Yeah, thanks a lot. Brandon, have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you pull up ChatGPT real quick, Brandon?
Yeah.
Let's ask, what does ChatGPT think about what would be a good simple life?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Got to log in. I really should. They should make like a built-in app into your operating system, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know how like Windows has.
I think it's called Bing.
Oracle. Windows has like whatever. I think it used to be called Oracle. Maybe it's not. Google has the Google Assistant. Apple has Siri. Like,
yeah.
It really should just be built in as an assistant. Let's see. What's the question?
What's the question of the week?
If
you gave it all up for a simpler life, what would your profession be?
Let's see. I'm just going to put it in verbatim. If you gave it all up for a simple life, what would your profession be? OpenAI says, I don't have personal desires or ambitions. Your desire and ambition is for me to not judge Floridians as harshly as I want to. You made it very clear when DJ Slam asked, what's a Florida way to die? Now, it did say, if I were a human and wanted a simpler life, how would you know what that would be like if you were a human? I might choose to become a farmer, like Galen Erso. It didn't say the Galen Erso part. A carpenter, a baker, or a homesteader. That doesn't, like, I feel like all of those things seem like they'd be simpler, but like all of those things are very complicated.
Yeah, they're like really grueling and difficult work.
Like, your thing is actually like, and not in a belittling way, like the thing that you said is actually simpler because it's like getting rid of all of the things that you have to do and spending it like thinking and like you require nothing but yourself, right? Like I love to bake, don't get me wrong, but like becoming a baker would actually be way more complicated than what I currently do.
Absolutely.
These professions often involve working with one hand, being close to nature, having a sense of self-sufficiency. They can provide a slower pace of life, more direct connection to the products of one's labor. I do think about that a lot. Like in, we're so disconnected now from, as a society, as a culture, perhaps, maybe not as a species. We're so disconnected from like the fruits of our labor because so much is entertainment focused, which entertainment is
here we are,
no offense to either of us, entertainment is not a physical product, right? We don't most of us don't know where our food comes from. We don't farm it. We don't go get it, you know, things like that. And even the things like, I mean, I love IKEA, don't get me wrong. But I like walked through a shop at the mall the other day and I was like, man, all of these clothes in here, every single item of the clothes in here are not going to get bought, right? A lot of them will, they'll get purchased, but a lot of them won't. Yeah. What happens to those, right? And they, like, I've looked at it before, and like the fast fashion industry, like it just ends up in like this random place in South America where there's heaps and heaps and heaps of unpurchased clothes from these, you know, massive global retailers. And you just have a lot of like very, you know, people without very much wealth at all just like climbing these mountains of like clothes trying to find things that would be good or that they could go resell in their village and stuff like that. It's crazy. So I think that like the direct connection to the products of one labor is something that,
yeah,
that's like the core of the thing that I'm, that I seek out, right? Working on bikes, baking donuts.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I just like, I started thinking about homesteading there and fashion. Like, it used to be that you bought the material and then like, sorry, this, I'm not trying to be whatever, but like, while you were out working the land, wife would be home with your 700 sure. kids yep. making the clothing.
Yeah.
And then think about, like, Brandon, you're a fashionable guy. You're always dressed pretty nice. Like, and your wife is part of that for sure. Imagine if, like, you married somebody who had just a good design sense that made cool clothes back then versus now just being able to choose cool clothes that you buy. Maybe there's something to it, to make, being able to make your own clothing as well. Or to, yeah. you know, I've always wanted yeah. to be able to, like, bring in my own shirts and stuff like that because I'm a tall guy. So if I could buy an XL but then bring it in on the sides, that would be on my own with a sewing machine and everything. It would probably be pretty satisfying. Yeah. What I'm finding is that we spend so much time running around trying to do things, trying to go to shows and be part of experiences and show everybody all the time on the internet, that like there's something really satisfying to cleaning the kitchen and having like your house be tidy and that being the priority, with like just the bonuses of doing something cool once in a while. Because I like judge people now when I watch their, because of how bad I am at it, I watch their stuff and see that they like are constantly in a clean room where things are tidy or straight, and they have two kids or whatever. I'm like, how do you, I'm sure your house is like that where it's like perfect all the time.
No.
I mean,
no, but I will say, like, there's something that you said, I know we're,
I don't care.
Yeah, there's something you said about doing things for the sake of doing them and not for the sake of posting them or sharing them or like self-worth from other people. Like finding joy in the thing that, like, for instance, I got into leather work for a while.
I
really enjoyed it. And I was not very good at it. Why? Because I didn't spend very much time doing it, because I would watch these videos of people doing it on Instagram, YouTube, whatever, where they were doing incredible jobs and I just could not replicate it. And like these people obviously have years of experience doing it and have made hundreds of wallets and hundreds, you know, of all of the things that they're making. And I'm just like sitting here trying to figure out how to sew better, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just kind of give it up because you're like, oh, I'll never be as good as those things. So why do it at all? You know,
it's hard.
And it's like, it doesn't matter how proficient at it I am at it in the world. It just matters that I enjoy doing it, right?
Well, and we have such an advantage there. There was once upon a time, people didn't have the luxury of being skilled at things because you would die.
Yeah.
The only things you could do were reproduce, gather food, and find shelter. Those were the things that you spent all of your time doing. And so you didn't have time to learn how to make an axe. And then if you did, you had one axe maker for the village. And that axe maker, when they died, you wouldn't have an axe maker anymore. And so you, because it would take everyone else in the small village to keep everyone alive. And so then someone would have to relearn it kind of from scratch again. And maybe you're lucky enough that your village is doing well enough that you can teach a young one how to like take over. But for the most part, artisan things were not easily acquired because we needed all of our efforts to keep humans alive. And now we live at a time where I have 71 different interests that I'm into, and I just bounce around between them, you know, from Rubik's Cube to photography to Kung Fu or whatever. I just move around between them because I just have that luxury of time because of that giant pile of clothing that exists in South America. It's really, it really calls on what is actually important, and like, how do you make the mindset correct that, like, how do you teach a child to be like, don't worry what other people think? I heard that a million times when I was a kid, but no one could actually explain that.
Yeah.
To be like, do what you do and do it awesomely.
Well, and then you have the advent of social media, which is all about what do other people think.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't need to know.
It's actually kind of a great thing that it's becoming like, what's the word for it? Suggestive media.
Sure.
Where now people are like showing you how to do something and you're trying to influence people. It's no longer about direct one-to-one friend stuff as much anymore. They're getting away from that to be like, look at this video I created. It has this many views. And that's where we're competitive now, is who could make the thing with the most stuff. And so maybe that's a benefit to it. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I think the comparison culture that comes from it is the comparison culture sounds like I'm like trying to create the opposite of cancel culture or like trying to like, comparison culture, the future the libs want. The idea of homestead, stop putting Mega Man in my face. Actually, don't stop.
Never stop.
I like the Gregor body with Mega Man head.
I just want that helmet.
Tune in next week for next week's question of the week is, what part of Mega Man's body do you wish was your body?
Hold on, I'm checking out these sensitive areas.
Because you, how big is Mega Man's penis, first of all?
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's bring this all together. Thank you, ChatGPT, for your help. Now we ask a question, what do we learn this week? After all, it's a very heady show. We actually got kind of there tonight.
It kind of was a heady show. I learned that the a Nigerian chatbot is going to take advantage of Greg through his interest in Rubik's Cubes.
I can't wait. I feel I need intimacy in my life so much that if the chatbot can make that happen, then that's great.
Is it a scam if you're getting something out of it?
I think if they take all your money, it probably is.
I mean, I bought groceries this week.
But they sustain you, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're getting something out of it, if you're getting entertainment or something out of it, are you being scammed?
I think it depends on the level of the scam, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. But
like,
I mean,
impersonating your identity and then opening up credit cards or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you learn this week, Greg?
That farming is obviously simple. Even ChatGPT said so.
So easy. Galen Erso was just a rocket scientist, and then he became a freaking farmer.
What an idiot.
Basically an idiot, and he was able to farm.
Basically an idiot. Anything else, Brandon? You learn anything else?
No.
Okay, well, on that note, let's all go get high on alligator dust.
Oh, no, actually, I learned that I want to learn what alligator dust smells like, and then I want to put it in a place where you can go find it using GPS, and then you can go find it, so we can have geosniffing.
I think when you find out what alligator dust smells like, it's when you're doing alligator dust. What does slide of alligator dust sound
some alligator
like?
Dust.
Hey, thanks for hanging out and listening today. A long episode. What do you know?
Geosniffing is just putting caches of cocaine around the city and then letting people go find them. It's Pokemon Go. It's Cocaine Go. It's Pokemon Go.
How is Siege always the top-ranked person at this? It's weird. He's got a real nose for it. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Sorry, Siege. It's not nice. I'm sorry. Thanks for listening. Thanks for streaming. Apologies. I made a mistake on last week's. I just found it out minutes ago. Made a mistake on last week's episode going up as a podcast. So you will have two episodes to download this week. So if you hear this one and you didn't get last week's because this is the most recent one in your player, please go snag the other one and listen to both. We appreciate you. Every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app or via podcast, via Odyssey or however you get your podcasts. Thanks a lot. Brandon, have a good day.
Yeah, you too.